name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
The snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth. break forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I have sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come the cypress, instead of the briar shall come the myrtle. It shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The old Lord has been the earth.
Third day. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the epistle for this second Sunday before Lent, the 12th chapter of the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, verses 7 through 12. And to keep me from being too elated by the abundance of revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I besought the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I will all the more gladly boast of my weaknesses then, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. When I was a little boy, I found the epistle read on the second Sunday before Lent very puzzling, and in some sense I still do, and perhaps you do too. But to come directly to the point, this epistle invites us to think about the place of suffering in our lives as Christians, as we hear at some length about the sufferings of St. Paul the Apostle. Now, the epistle read in church today is, of course, only a fragment of a somewhat lengthy section in Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. In this section, Paul defends his authority as an apostle, as one sent by the Lord Jesus himself to preach and teach the truth against attacks by various teachers bent on subverting his authority and leading the Corinthian Christians into error and delusion. It seems that these enemies of St. Paul were vainglorious men, proud of their own accomplishments, and preaching spiritually dangerous half-truths, proclaiming a purely victorious Christ while ignoring Christ's sufferings and the sufferings that inevitably come to those who follow him. And so, to establish his credentials as a genuine apostle, a genuine ambassador of Christ, St. Paul doesn't point to his very real accomplishments and success. He rather points to all that he has suffered, and only very diffidently does he even allude to an experience of having been given a glimpse of heavenly things. He refers so diffidently to this that he in fact speaks of this experience as having happened to somebody else. He doesn't say, "I experienced this," but rather, "I knew a man in Christ who was caught up into paradise." There, or very quickly hastens to add that he won't boast of that truly wonderful vision, but only of his weaknesses, his sufferings. He says, "I will all the more gladly boast of my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. What a very strange thing to say. You might even find yourself asking, does it make any sense at all? When I am weak, then I am strong. In terms of conventional wisdom, it doesn't make any sense. For weak is weak, and strong is strong. But St. Paul isn't speaking in terms of conventional wisdom. He is speaking in the light of Christ crucified, who is the power and wisdom of God. Now, you and I are so accustomed to hearing that formula, Christ crucified, the power and wisdom of God, that we may well have difficulty realizing what an extraordinary claim that is. A young Jew, shamefully nailed to a Roman cross, the power and wisdom of God. In the eyes of an unbelieving world, this is indeed folly, stuff, and nonsense. At best, an especially pathetic example of man's inhumanity to man, and so perhaps some kind of invitation to do better. But to eyes of faith, enlightened by the Holy Spirit, it is precisely in this young Jew, shamefully nailed to a Roman cross, that we in fact see the very love that made and holds all things in being come to share our own weakness, to drain the cup of human suffering to the very dregs, to make atonement for all our sin, and so to bridge the chasm of our rebellion against our Maker, conquering death by undergoing death for us, to raise us up to the life and the joy eternal. When I am weak, then I am strong. The point is this: God accomplishes his truly loving purpose not by power as the world understands power, nor by wisdom as the world knows wisdom, but by weakness. The weakness of suffering love, which never demands, but only lures and invites. In the weakness of Christ crucified, God's strength is known, the strength of sin-forgiving, death-conquering love. St. Paul had come to know the saving power of God in the weakness of Christ crucified. And he also had come to know that Christ had strangely yet mightily worked through Paul's own weakness. He knew the pride and hardness of heart that had once led him to persecute Christ's followers. Paul knew the inner conflict with sin. I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. He knew suffering at the hands of Christ's enemies, and perhaps even worse, at the hands of Christ's so often bewildered and contentious followers. Paul also suffered some kind of physical weakness, which he calls a thorn in the flesh, to keep me from being too elated. The Lord hadn't removed that thorn in the flesh, but had simply assured him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And what that means is, the weaker you are, the more the divine power is shown when it works, even through such weakness. So what does this all mean for you and for me? Four very brief points. First of all, it means that the way of discipleship, of following Jesus, is not some kind of scheme to escape suffering. Anyone who thinks that it is will sooner or later be bitterly disappointed. Second, in suffering, we are brought face to face with the truth of who and what we are. And who and what are we? Creatures utterly dependent on our Creator, and sinners utterly dependent on His forgiving love. Third, we do learn that suffering can be fruitful if through it we grow in compassion for fellow sufferers and in faith in the Lord whose strength sustains us where our own strength fails. And last of all, having experienced God's sustaining strength in our weaknesses all through the journey of this mortal life, we can then also face with confidence and hope that final and inescapable revelation of our weakness, when our own strength utterly and completely fails, and all that is left is to fall into the arms of God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. In our prayers this morning, we continue to remember those who mourn the death of Dorothy Bell, whose funeral will be held here this coming Saturday at 11 o'clock. Let us stand and pray for the church and for the world. Almighty and most merciful God, we thank you for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. And we pray you so to implant your word in us, that in good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth fruit by patient continuance in well-doing. Lord, in your mercy, grant to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine and faithful pastors who shall preach your word with power. Help all who hear rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Send laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith to all the heathen and to the people of Israel. In mercy, remember the enemies of your church and grant them repentance unto salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bestow your grace on all the nations of the earth, especially our own land, with all its inhabitants and all who are in authority, especially the President and Congress of the United States, together with the Governor and Legislature of this state, that mercy and truth, justice and peace may everywhere prevail. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Be the God and Father of the widow and of the fatherless children, the helper of the sick and the needy, and the comforter of the forsaken and distressed, and of all who are in any adversity, especially all those for whom our prayers are desired, and all persecuted Christians. Lord, in your mercy. And as we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour shall come, support us by your power and receive us into your everlasting kingdom. Through the merits of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, of the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us sing hymn 637. 637.